Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor forever and ever. We bring ourselves before you and we lay upon your altar. We offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. And that's our reasonable service. We lay our lives on the altar. And we say, if there's anything in us that you don't like, burn it up. And then take what's left and fill it. Blow the wind of God through us. Father, I see someone in here is going the wrong direction. You've been going the wrong direction for a while and you've got confusion. I ask you to reverse their course, Father. Help them to see straight, see clear, and reverse their course and go the right way. Their heart is right, but their direction is wrong. And you're reversing their course. You're going to help them see it. And no condemnation at all. No condemnation at all. God is reversing a lot of things right now. I see someone you took on this week, something happened that caused some trauma and some just a severe type of worrying. And you were carrying it and fretting it, and then finally it just got too much, and you gave it to God. But then what I saw is you were just exhausted, just done in, because the trauma and the worry took a hit on your soul. So in the name of Jesus, I break the trauma off your soul, and I break the effects of all that worry. We release it unto God, God alone. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. Amen. And he knew the end from the beginning. I feel like today's scripture might be that he knew the end from the beginning. He's known it from the Ancient of Times. Sometimes when you're in the middle, you don't see the end. And you take into account all these things that have happened to you in your past, and all the hits you took, and all the mistakes you made, all the times you tried and failed, or tried and failed, or tried and failed, and tried and failed. And it begins to make you feel like it's hard to go forward. And I was asking God, someone recently, you know, we've preached for years on the leading of the Spirit and following the Spirit of God. And recently someone that's been with us a long time said, you know, I think I'll try that. And I thought, good heavens, what would make someone put that off? And I said, Lord, what? I don't want to judge anybody, but what is that? And he turned it back on me and he said, what he did was he told me about something that I have an issue with that's hard for me to face. And he said, why don't you embrace that more quickly? And I said, because of fear of failure, because that's an area that I have not done well in. And he said, and that's why they're doing that. Because they tried and had a bad encounter with the leading of the Spirit or the hearing of the voice of God. Or they tried to step out and made a mistake. Or someone didn't receive them. And so because of what happens to us in our journey, we begin to judge ourselves in a wrong way. And worse than that, we begin to judge our end in a wrong way. And we say, well, maybe God doesn't want that for me. Or maybe I am one of those people that don't hear from God. Or maybe he doesn't talk to me the way he talks to so-and-so. All of which are untrue. And one of the things I feel like God is saying, you know, when I went through my hard times, God kept telling me, he knows the end from the beginning. And he doesn't start you on a course without already knowing that he's going to make you a success in that thing. He is the one. We don't have the ability. Honestly, really, we don't have the ability in any area to get Christianity right. None of us do. And if we think we do, we are deceived. Our flesh doesn't have the ability. Even if you had the ability for a day, well, you won't for the lifetime. You know, something will, there, you'll take a hit. I'm just telling the truth. And the quicker we come to that understanding that Christianity was never meant for us to live out of our greatness because we don't have it, our ability or our smarts. You may be a really smart person. You may be really, really, really smart, but you can't do what God is calling you to do out of your intellect. And compared to God, our intellect is so minute and pathetic. But we do have the mind of Christ, but where is that? It's in the realm of the Spirit. So God's trying to retrain us in a complete way. And what I feel like he's saying today is, I won't call you to do something unless I am equipping you to do it. Now, the problem we have as Americans is we think, well, It didn't happen yet. I want to say, okay, God, do it. Oh, he didn't do it. I guess he didn't want to. One of the biggest lies the devil can say is, well, I guess he didn't do it, so give it up. What a stupid doctrine that is. There are some things that take a lifetime to develop. Some things take a lifetime to develop properly. Because we're in a journey of being continually changed. Good heavens, give yourself a break. Are you going to get it right today? Maybe not. Are you going to get it right tomorrow? Maybe not. But God knows the end from the beginning. And if he's called you to do a thing, he will equip you. He will train you. He will teach you. Will it happen in a moment? Poof, no. When I set out to hear the voice of God, I couldn't hear a thing, not a thing, not a thing. Couldn't preach, couldn't teach, couldn't stand in front of people, couldn't look anyone in the eye, couldn't shake hands without pretending I had to wear a mask. How do you do? Couldn't do anything. Pathetic. Pathetic. But I knew that God had put something in me. Now, in the meantime, Satan's bashing my head in with circumstances for years and telling me, boy, you're just a flop. You're never going to make it out of this. Might as well kill yourself. Seriously. And I don't know if this happened in a day or a month, but it's like God shone a light, and it began to dawn on me. If God has called me to do it, he is going to bring it to pass. So whether you're trying to tackle the walk of the Spirit or study or witnessing, whatever God is calling you to do, and I believe he's called us all to the walk of the Spirit and to study and to witnessing, but all of us are going to be more prone to be good at one rather than the other, right? Carol and I had a conversation once that still makes me laugh. Prayer is real easy for me. Study, God has to help me study. He has to help me study. And in the beginning, he had to help me pray. Carol's brilliant at study. She can study till the cows come home. That's fun, right? Just good at it naturally. That's awesome. So what I'm saying is, what we don't do is say, well, I guess I'm just not good at that, so I'll just stay over here in my department. No, God wants us to press in and trust him and believe him. You know, one of the biggest and most effective forms of prayer is to appropriate by faith what the word says. That might not sound like prayer, but to take a scripture and say, you know, that doesn't seem like it could ever happen. There's some things God is asking me to do, and I'll tell you what, it seems impossible. But I know him well enough to know that if he's told me to do it, he's going to do it through me. I finally got that. He knows I don't have the ability. I think it's hilarious he would even pick me for this one particular job he's called me to do. I'm just telling you, it's not possible in the natural. But I also know that God has a history of doing for me and through me what I absolutely can't do. So I can trust that he's going to do this as well. Am I there yet? No. Have I been equipped yet? You know what? That isn't my problem. My problem is only saying, you know what, God, you know the end from the beginning. And if you called me to do this, is you are going to equip me. And if I'm too dumb to get it, is you're going to open my brain till I can get it. You know, you're going to explain it to me. God will explain it to me 50 times if that's what it takes for me to go, oh, because he's good. He's good. He's truly good. He's truly merciful. He's truly righteous. We have underestimated his kindness, and we've put so much on ourselves and expected ourselves to be so perfect because we're trying to do Christianity to some level. It's a lot of your past part of this, but I feel like God wants to shatter that performance thing. Some of you are still beating yourself up, questioning everything you do, condemning yourself, constantly apologizing. And God is saying, what, did you think I didn't know? Like, did you think I didn't see the fall happen in Eden? Do you think I don't know that your flesh nature is not, you're not capable? What, duh, do you think I didn't get that? I never expected you to serve me or walk in power or walk in miracles or walk in great abilities and be a great theologian or whatever your deal is in your own ability, because you don't have it. And if you think you do, you only have a fraction of what I have. And if you can learn how to shut that off and get the grace of God, why does he want that? Because he wants the glory. When you can honestly know that you're a flop going somewhere to happen and watch God do a success, everybody knows it was him. And in this day, he alone will get the glory. He doesn't want people that can do it in the natural. Why do you think he picked Gideon on purpose? Sought out Gideon. Sought out the weakest tribe. You know, Gideon's making all these excuses why God shouldn't use him. And the angel's like, yeah, why do you think we picked you? I had to hunt the world over to find the weakest tribe, the weakest family in that tribe, and the weakest, lamest, most pathetic guy. Oh, I found you. And now you're going to tell me that that's why I can't use you? No, we picked you. God picked you on purpose to show his power. And now you got this big army. That's too many guys because that won't give glory to God. Cut them down. Oh, that's still too many guys. Cut those out. Still too many. Okay, now you got some that nobody could ever win a war with, that puny little army and the dweeb of the universe leading them. Nobody could, not going to happen, can't happen. Now we're going to win because now God will show his glory. That is what your calling and your purpose is about. And if you think God is expecting you to be perfect and natural, forget it. Take that thing, chop it up, and put it on the altar and burn it. It won't fly. God knows you don't have the ability, and he loves you anyway. He died for you anyway. Jesus saw us on the cross. When I was struggling with some things when I was a young Christian, I was really beating myself up, and God had to just shake me with reality. He said, do you think I didn't see on the cross that there would be some people it'd take them 20 years to get free from something? Some 80, some would never get free. And I didn't say, oh, that one's too hard, not dying for that one. No. If you do get free, it was by the grace of God anyway. Right? We press in to get free, and when we pray, he will hear us. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a while, and you've got to keep coming back. But know this, God loves you. God wants you to succeed. He wants you in victory. That's God's desire for you. God's desire is to show you off in the spirit to the principalities and powers. Say, look at that. Look what I did through that one. They didn't have the ability. Satan had stolen everything from them, but look at that guy. Look at that woman. Look what they're doing. He desires to show you off, but really it's him in you, right? It's him in you that he wants to show off. So we have to come to understand the revelation that we don't have any real ability before God. You know, I was a systems analyst and by human standards was fairly smart, right? It paid me a lot of money to solve problems. I was real good at it. I'll be honest. I was good at it. In that category, I was smart. Kind of not so much in other areas. But very, very analytical. And I was born that way. I wasn't trained. I was born that way. I always thought that way. Always did. And yet, I learned one thing. God, compared to God, our so-called intellect is smaller than a grain of sand. And what we might see as wisdom will do no good, right? Because we can't see the future. So I don't care how much you know or how smart you are. It's hard to make a good decision because you don't know the future. The best of us doesn't really know the future, not well enough to make decisions, right? We also can't see what's in the heart of man. We look at a person, we go, there's a good guy, and they're a creep waiting to happen, right? So it's very hard to make a decision in your flesh. But if you can get a hold of this and go to God and get in the habit, the pattern of every day for everything, asking him, what do you think about it? What do you think I should do? Should I go here or there? Teach me. Because if you can get in a relationship with him where he guides and directs you, don't get hung up yet on hearing the voice of God. We'll deal with that. But if you can get in the custom or habit of living with him and developing a relationship and where you two become one. You know, you'll grow closer and closer until you feel like it's us, it's we. We are going to the store. We are taking a class. God wants you to come to the place where you're living with him and moving under the hand of God everywhere you go. You'll see success, but it's really the grace of God. So some of you have been told to do things and you've laid it on the back burner because you tried and it didn't work. Or you tried and people made fun of you. Or maybe you just feel like, I don't even know how to try that. Well, of course you don't. See, that's the mix-up. People think, God told me to do this, I should be able to do it. You're not. This is actually really good news. Because then what happens is it drives us into a place under the glory, under the presence, in the relationship with God, where he teaches us how to do things we could never do. I'll never forget the first time God told me to teach a seminar. I thought, like God. You spent all these years teaching me how to preach on the fly. Now you're telling me you want to teach point by point? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Well, that doesn't sound like fun, but okay, we'll do it. I'll obey you. Didn't know the name of the seminar. Said, hey, everybody, we're doing a seminar January 27th. Then I said, oh, hey, what's it called? Guess I need to prepare some. What he was doing and what he's done through the whole of my life is tell me an impossible thing to do. And me go, I can't do that. And him go, yes, I know. And then me go, how do I do that? And him say, well, let's do this and let's do this and let's do this. And then you do it and you see amazing results. And you go, you really are smart, God. What he's trying to get us to do is understand the journey, not this. We are so measured upon the outcomes all the time that I think we're missing it. You know, I think sometimes when I think about Abraham getting called to go to the promised land, and the way God called him and refused to tell him where he was going, by the way. Wouldn't tell him. Go to a place I will show you. Okay. Can you give me a direction? Like west, east, up, down? Wouldn't tell him anything. And I actually believe that as important to God as the destination is the journey of Abraham learning, us learning how to walk with God every day and say, oh, we're doing this today. Oh, camp here. Okay. How about today? Oh, camp here again. The journey is as or more important than getting to the promised land. Because at the end of it, Abraham was friends with God. Friends. God said so, not Abraham. God said Abraham was his friend and wouldn't consider to do certain things without talking to Abraham, getting his opinion. That is an example for us today. God is looking. Jesus said, I've called you friends, but a lot of people don't act like it. A lot of people are still in this servant mode, right? And we are servants, we're bond slaves, but we're also his friends. But if we take this servant mentality and we take on this constant measuring of self, and I'm not looking at anybody, but I know for a fact there's people in here, you're constantly measuring yourself. And you're going to people to try to get people to pat you on the head and say, good job, good job. What do we know? Don't ask us. Is God pleased? You know, don't go to man for man's approval. Men are humans, men and women, we're kind of stupid. And if God didn't want that, who cares what man thinks? But if God wants it and you did it, who cares what man thinks? We really do have an audience of one. God is trying to raise each of us up. And what's remarkable is every person has a different lifestyle and calling and presentation. Everybody has something different they're called to. But wouldn't it be a shame if we got to the end of our life and didn't even know what that was? Or hadn't even come to an understanding of walking in the grace of God until it was accomplished? Listen, God was preparing Moses. He was 80 before the thing started, right? So to think, oh, this is just going to happen overnight. Oh, it didn't happen. Well, I guess I heard wrong. No, you didn't. It's a lifetime journey. You're on a lifetime journey to run a race that is set before you to accomplish the purpose of God for which he put you in the earth. And by the way, you had a purpose when you were in the womb. Okay? When you were conceived. God has known you, actually. He said he's known you for all eternity. He's had a purpose for you. You're here for a reason. And God is trying to raise up a people that understand it's all about flowing with him, in him, and obeying him and living for him. Not so much about getting everything right or wrong. I love holiness, don't get me wrong. But what I'm trying to say is the grace of God, which is God's ability to do what you can't do and teach you what you don't know. Right now, I can't tell you what it is because it's a secret. But God has challenged me to do something he actually told me about in my 20s. And it was impossible then. I'm 64, I'm cracking 65, and it's still impossible in the natural. I'm telling you, for most people and certainly for me. And yet I know deep down that it is God. And because of that, I know he will do it. Because I've seen him do miracles. I've seen him do stuff that I knew I didn't have the ability to have seen him do. So understanding the grace of God, understanding his ability to bring you to a place where you can receive what you need to receive. Did you ever ask God to receive something and you felt, and I'm not talking about natural things, I'm talking about an impartation or an encounter or, oh God, let me see, you ask for that kind of stuff and then nothing seems to happen, right? Well, the reason is we have to be prepared for those things. You know, I'm seeking God for us, the body of Christ, to see and have a revelation of the majesty of God because we have lost it. You know what? When God shows up, you know, the ground shakes. You know, there's lightning and thunder and horns blow and people are terrified. Yeah, read your Bible. It's true. Terrifying. People see God and they fall at his feet as one dead. And because we've not understood it, and me too, we need a revelation of that to really worship him right. And to really have the true fear of the Lord, not the wrong kind of fear. We need to understand who we are worshiping, who we will stand by. I don't want to wait till that day and then stand before him, not having understood the majesty of God, even the terror of the Lord. So I'm really praying into me and everybody else seeing that. And you know what God's answer is? I'd love to, but I have to. You have to be prepared. Your vessel has to be prepared to even take some of that in, or you wouldn't make it, right? He doesn't want to fry you, right? Our flesh cannot stand. And yet in our spirit, man, we can see glimpses more and more and more. More and more and more. And God is calling us to come to a place where we won't be satisfied with just the knowledge that's being released. Can I say it that way? That's good, but it's not enough. There has to be something of a heart revelation of the presence and majesty of God where we are so taken. Listen, where people have seen that, where people have truly encountered God, they are forever changed. They're forever ruined, and they actually carry something that impacts people, and people don't even understand why they're getting impacted. There's stories of people. I remember a story I read recently about a man who was preaching. He had had a real God encounter. Like, oh, I want to almost say face to face. And when he went to preach, he carried this presence with him. And this entire town was mad at him. Everybody in the meeting house was mad at him, livid, in fact. He thought they were going to tackle him and beat him up. That's what he thought, because they were that angry. And he said all of a sudden, the presence of the Lord came. The atmosphere changed. He said you could actually see it. And he said within 2 minutes, people began to weep and wail and fall out of their seats and repent and cry out to God for mercy. What is that? What it is that he had had a personal encounter with God himself, so he was walking at a different level. They're all in the flesh, they're all mad and demonic and ticked off, and they're confronted now with God, not the man. See, I never believe in seeking an encounter for the encounter's sake or for a goosebump's sake, but I do seek him. And I do want those encounters that will change me, that will open my eyes, that will shatter any wrong belief system I have. Deal with us, God. Don't just leave us in this state. Deal with us. Deal with the remnant. Deal with the bride, because we're not ready. We're not ready. We're not prepared. We're not moving in the stuff we need to be moving in. Me included. I'm like, Lord, you got to do something. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes, help me to encounter you in such a way where I'm forever changed. And I can understand with the heart, not the mind so much, but the heart, that I can understand and carry the presence to a place where it impacts people, both the lost and the saved. God is calling the bride up to this higher level. And we can't just keep doing what we've been doing. That hasn't worked very well. We have to find out what the new thing is, or it's not new to God. It's not new to the apostles walked in it, obviously. So it's not actually new, but it's new to us. We're missing something. In the spirit, in the heavenlies, we're missing something. It's the next level. God is trying to release it to the church, but we have to come up to it. And we have to begin to cry out to God and ask Him, bring me to that level where I can see it. Help me to see it. Help me to have an open heaven experience or an open, you know, I'm actually convinced that heaven is open. It's us that hasn't been open. I'm actually persuaded that He opened heaven in Acts 2. It is open. It has forever been open since then. But it's us that has these barriers, and when we get those chopped down, we can experience more and more and more openness, right? So when you find somebody who's moving in the Spirit, they have come to some level of breakthrough, but there's more, right? So years of cleaning up your soul and getting the junk out is good, because the more junk you get out, the more open you can experience God. It doesn't mean He opened it. He is open. He tore the veil forever. It's forever torn. But there are other veils in us. There are things that hinder our eyesight spiritually. And we want to tear those down. And let me just say this, appropriate it by faith. Even though we don't have it yet, begin to find those scriptures and appropriate by faith that we see in the Spirit. We see in open heaven. We are able to see what God wants us to see. We're able to hear what He wants us to hear, appropriate it by faith. You say, but I always failed at that. I don't care. He has seen the end from the beginning, and He's calling the church to move in something. He's asking us to do it. He knows we don't have the ability in the natural, and He's not mad. He's saying, that's okay. Do you really understand who I am? And do you really get the grace of God? Do you understand that it's my ability through you? We have to break the idea of doing Christianity for Him. You can't. We have to come to understand Him doing Christianity through us by the grace of God and His ability. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that quickens. So to the degree you walk in the Spirit, that's the degree to which you'll see success. In overcoming a habit, in learning, in every area of life. It's not just about being a Christian, it's everything. Every decision. When I'm in the grocery store and I'm about to buy the wrong thing, He says, no, not that, get that. Thank you. Because I'd have taken the stupid thing home and it would have been wrong. Then I would have opened the recipe and it would have been like, oh, now I got to go back to the store. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, the walk of the Spirit solves everything. You just have to get better and say, well, I've never been good at that. That's what I'm talking about. That lie. I don't care what you were good at. You have to begin to believe God that He can help you. I was terrible at it. I didn't know what I was doing. But you know, the difference between me and a lot of people, I was desperate. And I knew that I had to have God talking to me. I had to know. I had to have God make my decisions. I got that revelation. And because of that, I would not settle for less than knowing what He was telling me. Now, I didn't care in what way He talked to me. I love when He talks to me through the Scriptures. I love when He gives me just a knowing, just no words, just, oh, I just know. I love when there's just a sense, no words. I love when He does tell me in words. It doesn't matter how He says it. All are good if it's Him. What matters is it accurate? And do I obey it? Because if I do that, I will walk in success and victory in every area that I apply that. And so the more we apply that, the better off we'll be. But that thing of, well, I tried that and it didn't work for me, so what? What, are you going to quit? You know, I God always shows me, like, when I was in high school, I was in gymnastics, and there were some kids that were just, like, born for it. You know, they were really, like, you know, they're 4 feet tall and could just, you know, they were just, their parents put them in, like, judo and gymnastics when they were two, and, you know. And, you know, those kids had a potential of really doing something. But in Christianity, everyone does, right? There's no limit. There's no limit. There's no limit. God is trying to remove the limits and make you to understand it doesn't matter what you're good at or bad at. That doesn't matter. If He has called us to do it, A, the walk of the Spirit, right? If He's called us to do it, He will bring it to pass. If we don't shut the door through unbelief, what's unbelief? Well, I tried it. It didn't work. God doesn't talk to me the way He talks to you. That's a lie. I promise you, He talks to you exactly the way He talks to me. But you have a fear. I remember one of the times God didn't, well, how God taught me to hear Him is I would ask Him questions. I said, you got to teach me. How do I know what you're saying? How do I know your direction? why could I hear you yesterday and I couldn't hear you today? What's going on? I'm laying on the breezeway floor. I used to lay on this cold tile floor so I wouldn't fall asleep. And I'd lay in his presence and he would teach me. And one day I went out there, nothing. Blank. Nothing. And I said to him later, God, what's going on? Why couldn't I hear you? I knew it wasn't that he wasn't talking. You know, a lot of people say, well, God isn't talking. God's always talking. Always. God will talk 24/7 if we will remove our barriers. You hear me? And God spoke this thing to me. He showed me a little picture of a mental block. It looked like a gate you can close. Telling the truth. He said, you had a mental block. He said, there's two reasons that people often have that little block and they shut the gate on what I want to say to them. And one is a fear of what I might tell them to do. They're afraid it will be too hard. They'll afraid, well, maybe I'll tell them to do something they don't really want to do. So, and that fear will cause a mental block or a shut gate. I said, okay, I don't think that's me. What's the other one? He said, the other one is a fear that I won't talk at all and you'll be hurt. I went, ding, 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 ding. That's me. That was it. And from that day, I have never, ever, to my knowledge, not been able to hear him. Because I dealt with that issue. One other issue he didn't mention, but if you have not wholly submitted your will to his, you'll have problems. You'll actually have voices speaking to you that are not him, right? You have to commit wholly, completely to his will. If you're not ready to do that, don't even go there. Just don't bother, right? But if you're wholly committed to God and you truly want his will, even if it costs you, he will help you. He will lead you, and he wants to, and he actually wants to connect you. God will teach you how. He'll teach you how to be a disciple. You know that we couldn't be a disciple truly without the help of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is who mentors us. He is our mentor, our coach, our teacher. He's the one that brings us into all truth. Without him, we wouldn't even understand the Bible. Who wrote it? He did. Yes, he used men, just like he uses men for prophecy. He uses humans to prophesy things and to speak things. But it's him. If it is him, right, and not their flesh. So he is trying to speak into the earth today to you and through you. And what he's trying to do is break those barriers of unbelief why you can't be the one. Why it doesn't work for you. Whether this is about being led of the Spirit or some other thing. God wants to break all the failures of your past off your soul. Because listen, if you tried something four times and failed, it's very likely that you won't try it again, right? Because who wants failure? You begin to believe, I guess that's not for me. I guess I can't do that. Every time I try this, that happens. Do you hear how the enemy got a victory? Do you think that's true in gymnastics? I watched these girls do back Arabians. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. You have to be really strong to do it. And they were all, you know, not all, but a few could do it. And boy, howdy, I wanted to do that. And I asked one of them, I said, how do you do this? She said, go home and get in your living room. You go over in a back bend and you push and you push and you push and you push and you push. And what you're doing is you're building up those muscles. I did that until I thought I was going to croak. For one thing, you're upside down. You know, all your blood is in your head. I went to school the next day and we were all in the gym. And I went to try one and snapped over, did it. Now, I would have honestly thought I couldn't do one. Do you quit the first time? See, why do we treat Christianity as though it's different from something like that? If you went to run a marathon, could you do it? Most people, no. So what do you have to do? You build up. You work at it. If there's a problem, you fix the problem. Why do we refuse to do that? Well, I just guess that's not for me. Don't be a wimp. If something is for you, it's going to take some development. There to do some of the things that I do, I had to change 100 things, 200 things, 1,000 things. I've lost track. I've had to get rid of all kinds of luggage and baggage and strongholds, lies in the soul. I'm not worthy. So what? I'm using you anyway. I've always failed when I tried to speak in public. So what? I'm using you anyway. When God dealt with me about being shy, I said, well, that's just my personality. I was born that way. I was always shy. He said, no, that's not shyness. That's the fear of man. You need to get rid of it. Uh-oh. We have to get rid of the weight that so easily besets us. It's not necessarily sin, but if it's stopping you from fulfilling your course, get rid of it. First of all, ask the Lord to show you with clarity, what is it that hinders me? I have a friend that said, okay, I think, you know, if I just get rid of this, then that's, I'm like, I hate to break it to you. I hate to tell you this. There are probably hundreds of things. You say, no, I'm a good person. Yeah, well, hallelujah. Your flesh isn't. We have hundreds of barriers, but here's the good news. When you get rid of one, it gets easier to get rid of the next one because you can see more clearly without that speck in your eye. You get a speck out of your eye, you can see better. You get the next speck out, you go, hey, I can really, oh dear. The freer you get, the more you see. Now, I don't want you to get so, it's never about condemnation. God doesn't see us that way. God sees you as holy and forgiven. But do you have issues? Yeah. Yeah, do I? Yeah, sure. But if we go on a journey to say anything that is a barrier between me and you, I want you to shine a light on it, and then I want you to help me to know how to get rid of it. Teach me, and you'll get real good at it. You know, what used to take a year will take like 3 seconds. Get real good at getting free and helping others get free, right? God wants a people that are pliable in his hands. Remember Silly Putty? You remember if it got hard, you couldn't do a lot with it, or you had to like warm it up and work it in your hand until it was warm and pliable. But the new stuff was warm and pliable. God wants us warm and pliable so he can do what he wants. Some of us have been a little hardened to the Spirit of God through opinions. Listen, our man's opinions, our own, my own, I like crushing them. Because your own opinions will keep you out of the Holy of Holies. Your own opinions will keep you from the presence. Your own opinions, our own doctrines sometimes can be our own worst enemy, even if we're right. Did you hear me? A person who's dogmatic, you know what that means? I'm right. Well, who cares? Who cares? If you're so dogmatic about being right and knowing right doctrine, even if it is right, that will keep you out of the flow of the Spirit and the unity of the body. Right? Yes. Oh, that's right, Holly. Very good. Amen. God is trying to get a people. You know, this is really about humility is what it is. Because when you humble yourself before God, he raises you up. But if you think you know something, you've got it together, or you're so bad you'll never get it together, either one. Both are the enemy of God. When you're like that, your focus is on you. When you're busy applauding yourself or berating yourself, either one, where's the focus? It's on you, right? If you're busy condemning yourself or saying, oh, I did that, hallelujah. You know, I raised the dead. I witnessed to somebody and they got saved. That's okay to share, but if you're all proud of yourself or if you're beating yourself up because God told you to do it and you didn't go do it, where's your focus? It's on you. What would happen? See, and what is that? It's really pride. You say berating yourself is pride? Yeah. What does that mean? Beating yourself up. Always condemning yourself. Always thinking of how bad you are. I used to be there. Boy, I was a bum. I couldn't beat myself up bad enough because I was such a bum. I really wasn't, but I just was stupid. But even that is a form of pride because it's self, 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 self. But what if we got a hold of his glory and our eyes went on him to where we kind of forgot about us? I'm telling you, God is trying to raise up the body to manifest him in the earth. So we have to be pliable and we have to deal with our judgments and our attitudes and our opinions. We have so many opinions. And it's okay to have opinions. Some of them we got from God. That's even okay. But I'll tell you what, when I go in the presence of God, I have no opinion. Zero. even if I think I know something, I know I don't in the presence of the King. Because I want to hear anything he has to say. And you know what? If you go in with an opinion, you know how God is? All right. Know it all. He'll leave you in your opinion. Did you know that? Did you ever, if somebody comes to me and they start telling me stuff and it's wrong and they're real sure of themselves, I'm not going to correct them. Right? Well, no, hallelujah. You're wrong, but okay. I'm not going to say so. Right? Because they're so sure. That's what we do to God. Do we really know anything in the presence of the King? So even if he's taught me something, even some things he spent years teaching me, when I go in the presence, I want to know what he has to say, because what if he wants to put the icing on the cake? Or what if he wants to correct something? Or what if I misunderstood a little bit? Right? We're continually growing and changing, or we should be. But you have to have some humility to do that. And humility is saying, you know, I don't. You have the answer, I don't. You're smart, not so much. And the only smarts I have are what you have. That's my smarts. That's the mind of Christ. And if we can come before God with that lifestyle, he will fill us. If we can yield all our junk and the lies we believed and all that stuff and get off the throne of self, just throw that throne away, man. That is the enemy, even being a good Christian or getting it always right. What if we started to throw ourselves on the mercy of the court and we started to throw ourselves down before Jesus as people who knew nothing and say, teach me, teach me. You know, he's the wisdom of the ages. He's the Ancient of Days. He knew all about the creation of the universe before it ever happened. He knows everything. He knows everything about physics. He knows everything about dark matter. He knows everything about splitting atoms. He knows everything about everything at all times. And he never minds sharing his knowledge with someone who comes and says, how does that work? How do I get this done? I'm struggling with this. What's going on with that, Lord? But don't quit after you ask three times. If you don't get your answer, keep asking. And if you still don't get it, be smart in your questions. Go and say, is there some reason that I'm not getting this? Can you show me? Do I have a blockage? Keep asking questions. Keep asking until you understand. I bug God all the time. There's things God has told me many times, and if I still am like, you know, I kind of get it, but I still got this thing. Can you help me understand this? Can you say it another way? You know what? He never gets mad, never gets impatient. He'll say, well, let's try this. And he'll tell a story. He'll give me a parable, or he'll give me a vision. He'll do something to help me understand, and he'll do that for eternity. He never gets tired. The Holy Spirit is infinitely patient with someone that really wants to know. Infinitely patient. He'll spend hours and days and months and years. That's his job. He loves teaching, mentoring, coaching. He'll use the word to do it. He'll speak to you in some way. He'll find a way. But don't close the door and say, well, I guess he doesn't want to talk to me. He does. You may not understand the way he's talking yet, but you will. You will. God is so much for you. And some of you are called to do some very unique and different things. It's as unique as a fingerprint. And God wants you to develop it. So by definition, you won't be able to get that from somebody else. Right? You can't get your fingerprint from somebody else's advice because they don't have it. They don't have your fingerprint. Nobody has the same calling you have or I have. Nobody. So you can't go to somebody and say, how do I do this? You can only go to the Holy Spirit and say, how do I do this? Teach me. Put it in me. Equip me. Give me the vision. I'm not quite seeing it the way you're seeing it. Give me the vision. And if you keep after it, you keep after him. One way to get an answer from God is you just don't go away. You just don't quit. By the way, God, I love you, but when there's time or when we're able, I want to know that. You know, I'm not letting you off that hook. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming. If I don't, I'm still going to keep coming. If I don't get it, I'm going to sit here and pray in tongues till I get some. And if I still don't get it, I'm going to ask you again tomorrow. I'm going to keep after you. God actually likes when someone will not quit. Don't quit. Don't be satisfied with a little bit. Don't be satisfied with a little bit of anointing. Don't be satisfied. Let's say you have an anointing. Yay, that's great. Don't be satisfied with that, because if you're satisfied with it, that's all you'll ever move at. There's so much more, so many more levels. Press into God for more. None of us are moving yet at the level he wants. Not even close. You say, but I raised the dead person yesterday. Well, yay you, but there's more. Until we are manifesting Jesus in his fullness, until we are manifesting how he did things, we have so many more levels to go. So I never can understand when somebody thinks they're a hotshot. How does that work? What do you have that you didn't receive? That's a scripture. What do you have that you didn't receive? Do da, I'm anointed. Well, do da. By the way, it's free for everybody. Free. So big deal you. Right? There's never a reason to be a hotshot in the kingdom. There's always a reason to say there's more and I'm going to get it. There's more and I won't settle. There's more and I'm not going to stop, Lord, until I receive what you've called me to do and even the understanding of it, because he knows the end from the beginning. He's ordained you to do things. But you know, with all my heart, I believe the vast majority of Christians go home to the Lord and never have fulfilled their purpose, and many never even knew it, never even understood what it was. For me, that is not okay. That's not enough for me. Never has been. That's never going to be enough. And don't let it be enough for you. Don't let it be enough for you to just go through life and be a good Christian. Find out why you're here and press in and keep pressing in and keep pressing in after that until you've got the fullness of what you're to do and the ability to do it by his grace. And he gets all the glory, because it was no longer I, but Christ who lived in me. He did the works. So he gets the credit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.